how can we judge the measure of a person's life? What is it that the Lord calls us to do with the time we have in this world? He calls us to do what is just, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with Him. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Greatness in the Lord's eyes is measured by how a person's love and wisdom expresses itself in daily life. It's the Lord's will that each of us be born into this natural world with its finite limits of time, energy, and other resources. It's His will that we spend our time here defining the values that will be the core of our lives. Day in and day out, we make hundreds, even thousands of decisions about what to focus on, what to think, do, and say. Through these decisions and how we respond to our inner battles, we form the person that we will be to eternity. Truly, all religion has to do with life. The life of our heart, the life of our thoughts, the life of our words and deeds. We're gathered to reflect on the life of Carl Smith. From childhood through adolescence, through young adulthood, up through his 40-plus years in this world, Carl's life had its joys and sadnesses, its high ideals and its darker elements, qualities of giving and serving others, and too often of not wanting to receive in return. There's been an outpouring of appreciation of good qualities seen by those who knew him, and there are other qualities that bring deep concern, distress, and sadness. Carl Blair Smith was born in Glenview, Illinois, August 21st, 1976, to Duncan and Sylvia Smith. He was in the middle of a large family, mostly boys. He was the sixth of 10 children, with four older brothers and one older sister, three younger brothers and one younger sister. Carl's oldest brother was less than 7 years older than him, and his youngest sister was less than 7 years younger. Within a noisy, rough and tumble household, Carl was often in the background, a relatively sensitive and quiet presence much of the time. Quiet, except for his laugh, but more on that later. The home he grew up in cared deeply about the new church. There was regular family worship at home, and attending Sunday worship was a given. Carl's father read from the heavenly doctrine to his wife each morning throughout their married life. His father continued to read to himself after her death, apparently reading through all 30 volumes more than three times. In the church community Carl grew up in, though not large, there were playgrounds, woods, fields, and a small pond for play during the summer and skating during the winter. Having his mother pass away when he was 15 left a hole in the family life and perhaps made it more difficult for Carl to come to an adult understanding of his parents' marriage. In addition to his own home, Carl found some families in the church community that he enjoyed visiting and some listening ears for his thoughts, concerns, and reflections. Carl attended the Emmanuel Church School, now known as the Glenview New Church School, kindergarten through eighth grade, and then ninth and tenth grades at the Midwestern Academy. When he started first grade, there was one other boy in his class, but it grew over the following years. In his tenth grade at the Midwestern Academy, he was one of four students in two grades. Carl went on to attend the Academy of the New Church Secondary Schools, graduating in 1995. His senior year, he was the song leader for the Phi Alpha, the boys' dormitory fraternity. Starting when Carl was about 15, he worked when he could at a small company owned by a couple in the Glenview New Church. The company did heating, ventilation, and air conditioning work, or HVAC. Summer, school breaks, and any time he was in town, he would help out. After high school, he took some classes for HVAC at the local community college, as well as some other classes that the company owner sent him to. In his early 20s, Carl moved east to be near this congregation, working for a time at another HVAC company, and then starting his own company, borrowing part of its name from his first employer, Effective Heating, Plumbing, and Air. Although working very long hours and showing incredible craftsmanship, the business struggled because Carl would undercharge in unsustainable ways. And most recently, he's been working for another HVAC company. One of the defining characteristics of Carl's daily actions for many people was his generous efforts to serve others. This showed up in his helpfulness as a child. At the academy, Carl received a service award and a standing ovation from the student body. He would work long hours with little or no expected payment for a family, an extended family. Although not an early riser, he would get in long hours of work, often going into the night, even late into the night. At some point when he lived in the Kenton area, he was inspired with the idea of building a 10 to 12 foot tall trebuchet for the Glen Cairn Museum's Children Medieval Summer Camp. He had to talk the director into the idea. It was the highlight of the end of the day for many of the boys particularly, as it flung a watermelon impressive distances. Another defining characteristic, one that came up when I first started talking with his siblings, was his laughter. A childhood friend remembered Carl laughing so hard at cartoons as when Wile E. Coyote once again ran off a cliff that it was hard not to laugh himself. Another remembered him as a fun-loving goofball. Anyone who saw him dance found it memorable. In family conversations at home, he would be quietly sitting in the background until something was said that would start him laughing, turning red, wheezing, and evoking laughter in others. One man cited a situation a number of years ago in which their family well died in the middle of winter. Given two infants at the home, this was a significant problem. The man wrote, "Carl came over and quickly determined that the pump was buried under the driveway. Typical Carl, he laughed, shook his head, and got to work digging through frozen earth compacted by 20 years of traffic. He worked like crazy. I suspect he undercharged me." Another characteristic that showed up early in his life was a commitment to and longing for marriage. He started looking for the right future partner with unrealistic idealism while still in elementary school. One person observed, in his high school yearbook, he wrote that his ambition in life was to love his wife. That was all he wanted. No fame, no fortune, just one thing that maybe some of us take for granted sometimes. Carl's approach to marriage was somewhat like the chivalrous relationship we're told of with knights and their ladies. He would focus on a young woman and quietly from a distance envision a future relationship. And then she'd get married to someone else, perhaps with no idea that Carl had held any other hopes. Carl had always envisioned that his life would include marriage and family. Truth be told, Carl had a very complicated relationship with his father. His father had problems with alcohol, with anger, and a limited ability to talk through conflicts to a healthy resolution. One of Carl's siblings suggested that his father was hard on Carl's sensitivity because of the abuse he himself had experienced, partially because of a similar quiet sensitivity had not helped him better defend himself. Carl, sadly, was estranged from his father and the family living in Glenview for 15 years. Perhaps there can be a good resolution of this disconnectedness with his father sometime in the next life. Sometime starting in his teenage years, Carl adopted something of a new church militant outlook on life. He adopted more and more of a division in life between who were the good people and who weren't. In a very idealistic way, he would see things in black and white. It had disappointed him in early acquaintances over and over again. When a female cousin first started wearing makeup, he was disappointed in it. For a time in Glenview, he would don camouflage clothing and patrol the church grounds at night to help ensure appropriate behavior was occurring, even though there was an established adult park patrol. At one time, Carl heroically saved the life of a man whose car had flipped over and was upside down in 6 feet of water. Carl drove down, broke a window, pulled the man out of the water, phoned 911, and left, partially because he was almost regretful to discover he had saved a drunk driver. He wore dog tags with code names for himself and phrases like, "My life is to protect. Love your wife every day, never take her for granted. And be strong and courageous, do not be afraid." Sadly, one of the things the Lord has forewarned us in the teachings for the new church is how devious and destructive evil spirits can be by twisting things that are in themselves good. One person suggested that Carl's demons got him in parts of life he cared the most about. Some of his states of mind recently might be indicated by the places in his Bible that had bookmarks in it. There was a bookmark on the page that included the distressing spirit troubling Saul. There is one that reminds us, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those against us." There's one in the New Testament where Jesus speaks of defilement coming from within, and one in the Gospel of Matthew where it states, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." In his world of many high ideals and his significant failures to live up to some of the ones that had been so important to him, it's not hard to picture Carl feeling hopeless and even like he deserved to be punished. That hopelessness and sense of punishment for guilt is a hallmark of the work of evil spirits. They inspire evil loves and false ideas, and then they accuse and condemn us for them. Many of us have faced dark periods of our lives and yet moved through them as best we could, hopefully seeking the Lord's help, and have found that there was light on the other side. Perhaps if Carl had drawn more of a sense of being a worthwhile person in himself from his earlier years, he might have had a very different path. Perhaps if he hadn't grown up with such values of self-reliance, he might have turned to others for help. Perhaps if he hadn't spent so much time alone, interactions with others might help bring more of the light of heaven in the dark times of his mind. Whatever its source, the way Carl's life ended was wrong. Not better for others, and not likely better for himself. And it won't itself solve the problems that likely contributed to his sense of hopelessness. But we need to remember a powerful teaching of the new church. The Lord says, "Judge not that you be not condemned." This cannot in the least mean judging of someone's moral and civil life in the world, but judging of someone's spiritual and heavenly life. Who does not see that if people were not allowed to judge of the moral life of those belonging with them in the world, society would collapse? What would become of society if there were no public courts of law, and if no one was permitted to have his judgment of another? But to judge what the inner mind or soul is like within, Thus, what a person's spiritual state is, and so is fate after death, of this one is not permitted to judge, because it's known to the Lord alone. Nor does the Lord reveal it until after death, in order that everyone may do what he does in freedom, and that good or evil may consequently be from him and so in him. And the person thus live his own life and be his own person to eternity. As we think of Carl's life being renewed in the world of spirits, may we envision how the wise and loving angels will help to shed light on the pathway of his life. Let us hope that they can help him see and really accept the ways that the Lord has helped him to do useful things and to value this role in his life as a gift to be deeply grateful for. Let us hope that the Lord can draw from some of the good and true motivation in his life the ability to reject the motivations, thoughts, and choices that hell could inspire. It can be our prayer that Carl might become that loving and committed angel husband he had long envisioned. Let us remember, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Amen. Let us pray.